Father, we enter your word with the reverence that it deserves. Daily we see more and more clearly how full of your wisdom this word is, how pregnant with revelation this word is. It is not just letter, it is spirit. Hence we need that same spirit, that unction from heaven, fresh anointing to unravel the spirit of the word. So Father, I ask, anoint me afresh, that I will speak as I should, truly as an oracle of God. And I pray the same anointing upon the ears and hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray as we speak, the power of the Holy Ghost be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words, to back them wherever they are heard, and releasing all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I would do it indeed with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And all those in agreement with me receiving each blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual life agreed with me and said,
Amen.
I have a very important message, and it really just flows along with all we've been hearing today during the Bible study and Mummy's exhortation. That was a prophetic, present truth, cutting edge revelation that came about Elijah, the fire. It's very interesting that the fire, the Bible says, the Lord whom you seek was suddenly come to his temple, and he shall be like a refiner's fire. The fire of the glory of God that is imminent is going to do two things simultaneously. It will destroy the wicked and it will refine the righteous. So in Elijah's case, he took a sword and killed the prophets of Baal. We're not going to take any physical sword and kill anybody, but it is the word, the prophetic, the anointing, the fire of the Holy Ghost. It says he baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire will refine the righteous, but the same fire will destroy the wicked. And it's interesting that, you know, Paul, by revelation, wrote this thousands of years ago, before we even knew about electricity and conductivity and all of that, using it as a physical, you know, illustration and analogy. You know, gold and silver are very good conductors of electricity, whereas wood and earth are insulators. So if you take electricity as a type of the anointing, you will find that gold and silver will conduct the anointing, but wood and earth will not. It's very also interesting, and this was true then, it's true today, it's always been true. Fire will refine gold and silver, but the same fire will destroy wood and earth. It just so happens. So that's what we're about to see. And when it does happen, there will be a backlash. That's one aspect of the glory and the manifestation that is imminent that we haven't... I've certainly taught it, you know, and preached it. But, you know, maybe the word is emphasized. And the reason why probably we do emphasize is because it's negative. Nobody likes to emphasize anything that is negative or that is, you know... But it's true nonetheless. There will be a backlash. The glory will come and there will be a reaction from the world. And that's why it says in Matthew chapter 24, it says that then shall they you be delivered up and some shall be killed. You know, there will be. It comes with the glory. You saw it in the Acts of the Apostles. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Gates are beautiful. The man gets healed. Thousands of people come in. Immediately there was a backlash. They arrested the apostles. They threw them in jail. They beat them. You know, many times when you hear these things, you wonder, well, why didn't God protect them? Why didn't that same fire, you know, stop the Roman or the centurions from, sorry, the Sanhedrin and other from attacking the apostles? Why did God allow them to be arrested and humiliated and beaten? The answer, my friends, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind of the Holy Spirit. The answer is in a still, small voice. There's always an answer. But you notice that when they put Peter in jail, they killed James. You know, I don't read those portions of scripture and just, you know, ignore them. I stop. Why was James killed? I don't know all the answers. But I know the answer in principle. And the answer in principle is always this: love. I don't know. Oh, I'm not James. When we get to heaven, we'll probably know the details if God wants us to. You know. But John wasn't killed. I talked about that during the Bible study. You know. But they arrested Peter. Peter was almost killed. Herod was going to actually cut his head off the next day. Then an angel came into the jail in the night. All his chains fell off. There was no key. Chain just fell off by itself. And the angel hit him. Get up. Oh, let's go. All the doors of the jail were just opening automatically. Nobody touched them. And took Peter, escorted him into the town where he knew his ways, and he went to the house where they were praying for him. But the point there is this: why didn't God do that earlier? Mommy said something you have to really get. You have to really understand this, what I'm about to say. God wants to know whether you trust him fully or not. So when things don't work out the way you think they should work out, will you still trust God? Let me paraphrase that in another way. Will your heart still be loyal to God when things don't work out the way you probably think they should work out? It still worked out fine for Peter later on. But you'd be wondering, well, I mean, if an angel could come and open the door of the jail, why can't the same angel stop them from beating us? Because many reasons, which we don't know all the details, we do not presume, you know, but in principle, we understand the principles because God he has to work through people's prayers and so many other things. You know, he could do it sovereignly. He chose not to. You know, when the church has been sleeping, as the Bible said, they prayed without ceasing for Peter. Now, they didn't pray without ceasing before James was killed. There's something about us that doesn't pray until there's a problem, which is a bad habit. I'm going to be talking about that this afternoon. You know, but when they now prayed and And God now delivered Peter. You know, Peter began to learn some things, and you know, he learned more about God. So when things don't work out, the important thing is that your heart must remain loyal to God. Job is the perfect example, and Mommy spoke about him today. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, can you honestly say that? And situations will be allowed to happen where it will be demanded of you to say that, both with your mouth and with your heart. Amen. And with your actions. Sometimes it will look as if everything is going to go. Paul said so. He said that, you know, the trouble that came upon us, he said, we despaired even of life. There's a great man of faith. Would to God that more of us will read these portions of scripture. He said that we should no longer trust in ourselves, but in trusting God, who will raise the dead, who we trust has delivered, is delivering, and will yet deliver. So, you know, part of the glory, part of the flip side of the glory is that there will be a backlash. And that's why we're teaching all this about love now and perfection. And because when the backlash comes, that's what's going to protect you. It is going to come. Persecution will arise for the word's sake. Affliction will arise for the word's sake. Satan is not just going to sit by and just walk all the way. Trust me, folks, like the Americans and the British say, it's not going to be a walk through the park. You know, it's going to be, you know, just take the glory and you're going to stroll through. No. The glory attracts satanic attack at a far greater level than before you got the glory. Because the glory is your rear guard. Amen. I want to say something to all of us here. I haven't even started my message, but you know, I want to say something to all of us here. You see, God has never promised us that we will not be attacked. I know sometimes the way many of the preachers say it, it seems to come out like that. Oh, what happened to you in Jesus' name? You've heard it before, you know. Everybody that's come here today, all these your enemies, you will never see them again in Jesus' name. Have you heard all? It's all childish preaching. Because it's not true. That's why I don't do those things. You see, and that's why sometimes, you know, some people don't really like my preaching because, you know, like I told you during the Bible study, I've learned and I'm still learning to tell you the truth. I don't exaggerate. God is helping me. You know, I do not handle the word of God deceitfully. You know, I don't, all those games, I don't play them. You do it to play to the crowd. You play, be fooled. Tell them what you would want to hear. And say, you know, don't teach you anything. Just come here and tell you, you know, how people need to say, you know, you have problem, how people need a miracle. Put anointing on all of you. Make a lot of noise. Shout with the music. Everybody gets excited, goes home, but you learn nothing. And then when you get out, the devil will now finish you. That's dishonest. So I'll tell you the truth. Do you understand? Now watch this. God never promised Satan wouldn't attack us. What he promised is that as we walk with God in love, he will not penetrate our armor. He didn't say you won't be shot. He said when the bullet comes, if you have the armor of faith, the armor of the shield of faith, you will feel it, but it won't penetrate. That's the truth. That's the reality. You will feel the fury of the enemy. Jesus did. Who do you think you are? Hello, somebody. The guy goes to his hometown for heaven's sake. Where he grew up. Where he went to church every Sunday. Possibly by the same rabbis who knew him when he was a kid. He goes there and declares to them, I got the spirit of God. I'm paraphrasing in modern day English. I just got the spirit without measure. That's what he told them.
You know, he just said in different words, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know. But he was just saying, hi, guys, I just got the Spirit without measure, and I've come home to share it with you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's exactly what he said. You would have thought it would draw applause. And people say, thank God, Jesus, you know, wow, we're so proud. Somebody from our hometown is the guy who has who's the Christ. No such thing. It was a backlash. Who does he think he is? They didn't stop there. You know, we read that story and read it halfway. They grabbed him. Jesus, one person. Probably he went with James and John and a few guys. Those ones, they weren't even in a picture. They were there, but like, see, they were not there. Can you imagine? Only God doesn't have people in the synagogue. Maybe 100, maybe 200, I don't know. You know, 500. You know, walk rushing, Boney. I had to say it like that. You know, I have to say some things in Nigerian English so that, you know, people will get it, you know, for our international audience. I mean, what I mean is that the crowd rushed on him. He couldn't resist 10, 15, 20 people. He couldn't. So they actually they grabbed him. They grabbed him. And hey, you know, Jesus is not the kind of guy who's going to start fighting. He's not going to hit, you know. Can you imagine you're boxing people and pushing this one? No. He just, like a lamb. He trusted God. Never fight to trust God. And that's a tall order. Most of us will fight. In fact, when you see, they are touching Pastor Lubi. Oh, yeah, yeah. I got that zero off me. That's what's going to kill you. Now you've just signed your death warrant. Never go the way of the world. You will lose. You've just gone onto their ground. Jesus did what God would do. He didn't say a word. He allowed them to capture him. Now, I'm going to ask the same question. Why didn't the angel stop them then? Why didn't one big angel just come from heaven with a sword? You know, nobody would dare touch Jesus. God allowed Jesus to be touched. He allowed him to be dragged. Only God knows what they did, pushing him and everything. And they were taking him to the edge of the cliff with full intention of killing him. It's going to happen to you. Nobody said amen. All these people want the glory. Look at them. But that's not the end of the story. Do you understand? I said he will be allowed to attack, but he will not penetrate. It's a big difference. I had to use Jesus, because if I use Paul, you say, well, Paul was a man, you know, and he had sins, but Jesus had no sin. Yet he was attacked. So we will be attacked. No, amen. Whether you say amen or you don't say amen, it's going to happen. If you carry the glory, just get ready for it. You know, I've been mentally preparing myself for this for years, because I don't tell myself a lie. Oh yes, I mean, I've been criticized in my ministry, I've been ostracized and all of that. All those ones are not even, you know. But I know that once the glory comes, we're going to face the real attacks. They may shoot at you. Arrest you, put you in jail. Hey, folks, it's part of the package. Are you listening to me? It's part of the package. Okay, that's, you know, what I like about God is that God does not do all this. You know, he tells us the whole truth up front. He says, I have showed him how many things he will suffer for my name's sake at the beginning of his ministry. Nothing had happened yet. He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and said, I have shown him. And Paul signed and said, fine. I've signed too. I know if you have signed. Very, very unconvincing amens. Only Pastor Wally. Every other person. Nobody said, Pastor, I too have signed. You have a sign. An undercovering. When a lady, Pastor Lupi, can you sign? Can you see why God can't trust you? But seriously, yeah, it will come. But look at what happened. They got to the edge. Why did God wait until they got to the edge of the cliff? You see, these are, when I read the Bible, I read all these things, you know, because I know when these things begin to happen to us, you yourself will now understand how God is operating and you will not be offended. Amen. Not only will you not be offended, you'll be in the spirit when all those things are happening, so that you have already mapped the road to your salvation and your deliverance. Jesus wasn't doubting God. They were taking him right. As they were approaching the brow, he could see the cliff. So I said, oh, man, this is sure certain death. All of a sudden, the glory of God just came. This is your rear guard. Amen. And he just walked through all of them. The same people. And nobody could touch him. There's a force field around him. That is the reality. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. Kept by the power of God through faith. But anybody tells an illusion that you will not be attacked is telling you a lie. You will be. They're not going to be attacked every day. It's not going to be a daily thing. You know, but it will happen. There will be occasions where it will happen. The lion's den will come. The fire, furnace of fire will come. They will come. Are you listening to me? They will come. But chill. That's why it says, in the world, I like him. He didn't lie to us. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have, and so will you. He didn't say it, but that's the spirit. I have overcome the world, and because I have overcome the world, and I'm going to be in you, you too will overcome the world. Are you listening to me? So chill. Alright? So these things will happen. They will happen. We don't understand all of it. You know, they will happen. And that's why learning to perfect the love of God in your life is critical for the coming glory. So when these backlashes happen, they will happen, you will be protected by the love of God. Not by fighting. Never respond in the flesh. Jesus never responded. They slapped me the answer. And they came to arrest him and said, which one of you is Jesus of Nazareth? He just said, I am he. Everybody fell down. Power. Then he withdrew it deliberately. Now, it's a good thing if you have that power and you don't have to withdraw it like us. Because they will come and then you just say, I am he. And somehow God will just walk in the situation and they won't touch you. Or if they touch you, they can't touch you in any kind of permanent negative way. You will suffer some inconvenience. See, the Christian who doesn't want to suffer any inconvenience is not going to reign. Yes, for if we suffer with him, then we will also reign with him. Is this clear? So don't be bothered. Be bothered, but don't be bothered in a negative kind of way. The tribulation, the glory will attract. It's going to attract significant, intense amount of backlash, but we will overcome it. And it's after we overcome it, because it's not going to be just all at one time. It'll come, nothing may happen for another few years, and another thing will happen. And that's how you just look at the life of Daniel. That's a good pattern. Do you understand? At the beginning, there was just the food problem. That was not a big problem. Then Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and didn't know he wanted to kill everybody, including Daniel and his friends. Then they overcame that one. Then maybe 3, 4, 5 years, we don't know. Then there was a furnace of fire. Then he overcame that one. And then there was nothing for so many years. Then after a while, Darius took over. Belteshazzar dies. Darius takes over. He becomes the prime minister. Then there was a lion's den. And that's it. No other record. So they will happen. You know, so you go from... people don't want... from glory to glory. New level, new devil. Have you heard that before? New level, new devil. Every new level you get, there's a new devil that comes up. And you have to get to the highest level where it will be the devil. So you won't just be a small devil. Your gapata-pata will come and try you. Are you listening to me? With great fury. Fury. Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says he was so angry, his face, it was a devil. The devil, that evil spirit temporarily possessed Nebuchadnezzar. He was so furious that anybody could dare countermand his decree. And he didn't bow unto that, his idol. The Bible says his face changed. Don't let the devil fool. Don't let him intimidate you. Those boys were not intimidated. And they were looking death in the face. And they were ready to die. That is where we have to get to. O King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able. How many believe our God is able? Put your hand down. But even if he doesn't. That, you see, that's the one the Christians haven't got to. Many of us. But even if he doesn't, we will still obey God. That's where God wants us to get to. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. It will be tested. It's not going to be mouth alone. It will be tested. It will be tested. God knows, He believes, you know, he's in your heart. Well, let's test it. That's what he did. He tested it with Job. He tested it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He tested it with Daniel. He tested it with Paul. He tested it with Jesus. No great saint worth his salt is not tested with this matter. Still want the glory?
Yes, sir.
All right. You going to sign the package? Oh, that's more yeses, thank God. So, let you sign, you can't remove the signature. Good. That's a good four. Whatever. Now, I have a very important message, and I was sharing that what Mommy shared today was very, very important. It's cutting edge, and that's where I started from. That the fire is coming. The fire is going to consume the prophets of Baal, and there are lots of them in the church today. The church is full of prophets of Baal. In the Old Testament, Baal was worshipping a god like Shongo or Ifa or Mila or whatever. You know, Ishu. You know, we, the Yorubas, we have about 16 deities. Shopono. Can you imagine? You know, and I mean, most of us know better than that now. You know, see people who worship those things. But that's not what the Bible's talking about in the New Testament. It's talking about idolatry. Idolatry in the New Baal in the New Testament, idolatry is covetousness. Oh man, the church is full of it. There is a green hill in practically every church where they worship Baal every Sunday. The most of the service is centered around money. It's the worship of Baal. It's covetousness and idolatry. Using faith as a cloak. Because the Bible does say, God will meet your need. But you can make a God out of that. You know? And so, the fire will come and destroy all of that. And then after that, you know, he will refine the gold and the silver. Then the gold and the silver that is now refined will now be tested.
It was that test Elijah failed. That's why I'm preparing you. The prophets of Baal had been destroyed. The glory had come. The fire had fallen. Yet he failed. Why? He was afraid for his life. The very thing we just preached. You shall not love your life unto the death. Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. So what? So what? Is it the God that answered by fire yesterday that will not protect me against this Jezebel? The fear of death made him run. Where he should have stood his ground, he hit the rock. He did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people. So he did not inherit the double portion. It had to be given to somebody else. Another message for another day. He had a portion, but it was that double portion that the Elijah asked for, which he would have got had he stayed on and had not been retired prematurely. You didn't have to, you know. Yes, there was a backlash, and Jezebel threatened his life. So what? So what? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Okay? So, Jezebel, we're not going to back down simply because you threaten us with your life. What you should have done, you should have gone to God. And this woman has insulted a prophet of God and dared to threaten me. Lord, what should I do? It would have been interesting. Oh, I wish that chapter was in the Bible. And Jezebel dared to come near Elijah. He would have called another fire from heaven. But this time, it would not be on the sacrifice. You know, you must have heard a lot about this in this presidential election. I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm just preaching the word of God. Amen. I tell you something. Bullies are really cowards. I'll kill you tomorrow. Come. Stand your ground with your God. Amen. And let her come. Do you know what? If Elisha had stood his ground, Jezebel would have run. Cowards, bullies are cowards. They talk big. But when it comes to the real action, they run. Are you listening to me? So, nice introduction. Praise the Lord. Am I blessing anybody here? We could actually say the grace and go home. Amen. Now, the title of this message is called Avoiding Sins of Omission. It looks like a double jeopardy. It's a sin of omission. So how do you avoid it? Now, all sins of commission are a result of sins of omission. And the classical example is Adam in the Garden of Eden. Mommy talked also about Adam, you know, in her exhortation. I've shared this many times. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. I've shared it over the years. But God has asked me to preach it now as a complete message because it is necessary now. It's a present truth, prophetic word that we're going to need in the days that are ahead with the coming glory and the corresponding backlash. Never forget it. See, Elijah, sadly, was not here to hear this message. Otherwise, he would have been prepared for the backlash. Do you understand? So when the backlash came from Jezebel, Elijah would have been prepared. That's why we're preparing you. So we're not only talking about the glory and the fire, we're also talking about the backlash and how to deal with it. Is this clear? I'm not talking to anybody here.
Genesis chapter 2 verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God, I did not hear you, commanded the man. Let me read that the way we read it. And the Lord God suggested to the man. Many times when we read these things, we read it with that silly mindset. No, it's a command. Hello? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, I love this. Of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely... It reminds me of the scripture, who hath given unto us all things freely. Freely eat. Next verse. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Back up to what verse is that? Where are we? Lord God, have mercy on me. It's that same Genesis 2 where it says, and God planted in the midst of the garden. What verse is that? This is before verse 8. Thank you. Yeah. No. Yes. But the other place. Yes. Thank you, Pastor Larry. Look at verse 9. And out of the ground... meet the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst. Give this to me in the New International or the King James. I think New King James. Right. Trees that are pleasing in the middle. In the middle. I didn't hear you. Of the garden where the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ask yourself an obvious question. Why in the middle? Why in the middle? Why did he put it in one obscure corner? He put it in the center. So that Adam will always be seeing it. You know why? He wanted Adam to eat of the tree of life. It was a trick thing. Not in a bad way, but will you obey me before you disobey me? See, God had told him, you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you can eat of every tree. So he now puts two trees. He didn't put every other tree, but he put the tree of life right next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is the obvious thing? Even if you want to eat, why don't you eat the life one first? By the time you eat the life one, then let's see what happens. So the biggest mistake, we're all still suffering from it. Had Adam eaten of the tree of life first, he would have had the knowledge of good and evil by revelation, not by experience. Then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will no longer be attractive. That was God's solution. Watch this. The sin of the omission of eating the tree of life led to the sin of the commission of eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's an eternal principle. This is a... how does Paul say it? This is a worthy saying, worthy of all acceptation. It's a law, what I've just told you. Every sin of commission has at its base some sin of omission. If you do what you should do, you will not do what you should not do. It's logic. Think about it deeply. Now I'm going to give some more examples. And Mommy gave the example today about Elijah. Elijah was not even part of what I was going to preach. But God used Mommy to bring it. You know, he had Elijah prayed after the fire and when he heard what Jezebel said. Do you understand? He didn't need to wait until he went to the cave to hear the still small voice. He would have heard it then. The act of
he omitted prayer, which was the way of escape. Had he prayed, he would have gotten the knowledge and the wisdom from God of how to deal with Jezebel. He would not have had to run. The omission of that caused him to commit the sin of running and the fear of his life, and caused him to get his early retirement. Is it clear? Is it clear? I'll give you two more examples. You know, they're negative examples, but they bear reputation in the Word. I'll give you another example. The example is this. You know, I've written them down here. Look at David. This is my second example, you know. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17. How many people, that's a scripture every Christian should go and memorize. From verses 20, 18 through 20. Because of time, I'm not going to read everything. I'm just going to pick out the relevant portions. This is God's commandment. Again, it was not a suggestion. Just like the Garden of Eden was not a suggestion. The commandment of eating of the trees of the garden was not a suggestion. It was a command. You know, in the same way, God gave this command before Israel ever chose a king. Before Israel ever, there was no king. There was nothing. This was in the time of Moses. It was Moses who gave this commandment. He says, and when you get a king, let me just paraphrase it, you know, because of time. He said, he didn't say they should do it for him. He said he should do it himself. He said the king should have a copy. That's what I've done when I give him that little book, Keeping Yourself in the Love of God. It's a copy of the law. He said, and he shall, next verse, it is to be with him. I didn't hear you. And he is to read it some of the days of his life. On the days of his life when he has time. On the days of his life when he's feeling spiritual. Allah, I shall know how. You know, we read these things and just gloss over them. You know, he should read it all the days of his life. I didn't hear you. So that he may learn to revere the Lord his God. Going back to King James, I don't like all these modern translations. You know, I always stay with you. I move by the Spirit from the King James to the modern translations. I do not meditate in the modern translations, or else you will miss revelation knowledge. You can ask me. I've been doing it for over 30 years. Trust me. Stay with the King James. They use the modern translations. But your reading and your meditation should be in King James first. Then when something is not clear, the Holy Ghost will say, check another translation. That's what I found. And I didn't learn it by myself. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. I learned it from all the fathers. All of them say King James. It's been there since 1611. Amen. That's why God will always save the queen. Another message for another day. All right. It says, all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear. You see, the guy used river. I say the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's the one that'll get your attention. I know it means river, but the word fear is more powerful. How many people know what I'm talking about? Most Christians, you know. Learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep some of the words of this law and this statute to them. In the New Testament, it translates to love. For all the commandment is summarized in one word, even love. So in the New Testament, God is telling us that we should have a copy of the book of the law with us, and we should read it and pray from it every day of our lives. I didn't write the Bible. Don't look me funny. Amen. This is what God said. How many people want to be kings here? It's for kings. You are kings and priests in Christ Jesus. It's a direct commandment to you today as a New Testament Christian. Next verse. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from this commandment to the right hand, not to the left. To the end may we not miss our end. Your end is your destiny. To the end, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. And his children in the midst of Israel. David disobeyed this. That was the root of the Bathsheba problem. You see, if you read only the Bathsheba problem, you are only looking at the surface. Did he say that the king should read it or only on the days when the kings go to battle? Had David, every sin of commission is first of all a sin of omission. Had David read that thing daily? Do you understand? He would not have turned aside, firstly, to stay at home when the kings go to battle. Secondly, to look at another man's wife while she was having her bath. That was the root. The word had the power. If he had just gotten up that morning and said those words, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, they didn't have it like we have in the New Testament today, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, he would have remembered. The Holy Ghost. In fact, he wouldn't even see Bathsheba. You see, that's the thing. Had he been praying the way he should have been praying, even if he was feeling weak and tired, he would have gone with the army. He would go with Joab. He may not be, he doesn't have to be at the battlefront front. He will be in his tent, maybe about 5 miles from the battlefront. They'll be bringing him a report. He'll be tired, he may be weak, you know, maybe just needed a rest, you know. Then they'll be telling him, they'll say, oh no, Joab, you do this, you do that, do that. He would have been in battle with the people. He would never have seen Bathsheba. Sins of omission are very dangerous. Because, and I'm going to give a contemporary example now, they lead to consequences you cannot trace where it came from. Something will happen, then you'll be wondering, what did I do? The question is not what you did. It wasn't that you did anything, it's what you didn't do. You see, many times we try to, you know, when something happens, you begin to wonder, what did I do? I didn't lie. I didn't do anything wrong. Many times the real problem isn't what you did, it's what you didn't do. The omission is what opens the door. Kenneth Hagin. The year is 1959. The year I was born. This was before I was born. I think it was February somewhere. Just appears to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin has a car accident. He's in the hospital. His hand is in plaster of Paris. Jesus appears to him. One of his most spectacular visions. He thinks he's a nurse. But wasn't it? Because Jesus was wearing white and sandals. You know, according to what Kenneth Hagin described. Go and read the book, Believe in Visions. So, Jesus pulls his chair. Kenhagin is in bed, is in the hospital bed with his hand in a plaster, you know, in a sling, plaster of Paris. Just pulls and sits down next to Kenneth Hagin, looks straight at him and says, what has happened to you is not my will. You know, Jesus doesn't have time for all these niceties. If you saw Zakbeleo, Kiloshi, straight to the point. He said, what has happened to you is not my will. He said, you had this accident. And allowed it to happen to arrest your attention. Because you put, watch this, omission. You put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry. And didn't stop there. He said, and if I had not stopped you, and I didn't allow this to happen to arrest your attention, you would have continued and you would have lived only to the age of 55. At that time, Kenhagin was 42. You would have, this was 13 years down the road. You would have lived only to the age of 55 and you would never have fulfilled the first phase of your ministry. Wow. Ken Hagin did not commit adultery. Kenneth Hagin was not lying. Kenneth Hagin was not stealing church money. All the things we normally think cause problem. He didn't do any of those things. All he did was a sin of omission. He put the teaching above the prophetic because people prefer the teaching to the prophetic. Finito. It was going to cost him his life. 13 years down the road. Now, let's back up. Think along with me. Let's imagine Jesus didn't appear to Kenneth Hagin. Now, he did. You know, but let's just imagine Jesus didn't appear to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin has an accident. His hand is in plaster paralysis. He's in the hospital. Let's assume now Jesus does not appear to him. Kenneth Hagin begins to pray and say, God, why did this accident happen? And the Holy Ghost whispered to him and said, you put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry. Would Kenneth Hagin have believed it? Let me wind the tape back. Kenneth Hagin has a car accident. His hand is in plaster of Paris. He is in hospital. And he doesn't know. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. There's no sin of commission here. I've not done anything, you know. I've been praying, I've been preaching, I've been doing the word of God and everything. You know, everything looks okay. You know, then a prophet comes, not Jesus now, who God has spoken to, and says, thus saith the Lord. Ken Hagin, this has happened to you because you put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry. What do you think would have happened? See, you must be crazy. Do you know who I am? I'm Kenneth Hagin. Preaching for full gospel men all over America. People been healed in my ministry. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Who are you? Come on, tell me that. That's the most likely reaction. Now, let me bring it back home. Fast forward to 2016. Things that have happened in your life that maybe ought not to have happened. Have you asked yourself, why could such a thing happen? And then if Pastor Olubi or Mommy Sarah or Pastor Boyega, one of us come and says, you put your teaching ministry. What wicked gone church, you know? What wicked gone church? So, I'm Tabari Bungoti Mosofa. You know what they told me? My teaching ministry. 99% will not receive it. Hence this message. Many things. That is why you should avoid, and I'm going to show you how to do that in a few minutes and we'll close. You should avoid sins of omission so that there will not be sins of commission and there are terrible consequences that you may not be able to put your finger on. See, when those things happen, all you see is what happened. You don't know what went on in the realm of the spirit that caused it to happen. Poor Job. Poor Job. Everything was going fine. The richest man in the east. His daughters were the most beautiful women. He had seven sons. He had sheep and cattle. And Job didn't do anything. He didn't commit, he didn't lie, he didn't steal, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't do all the moral sins that we would think that were all of it, like a whirlwind from nowhere, like a bolt of lightning from heaven. In one day, all his children died. Gas. As they're bringing him the news, all the cattle dead. Ah! Where are you going to start? Where are you going to start? Hence this message.
many times the problems are due to omission, not commission. That was the problem with Job. Job was offering animal sacrifices, trying to cover for his children where he should have been keeping spiritual law. God didn't spare him. At the end, Job made noise, shouted, cried, did everything. When God was appearing to people, what's going? It's just like anything and Jesus. When God appeared to Job, you know what he told him? He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel, whose words are without knowledge?" It echoes what the prophet said, Hosea, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Omission. What you don't know, you can't do. A lack of knowledge is a sin of omission. Or let's paraphrase that in a better way. A lack of knowledge leads to sins of omission. You lack the knowledge, so you don't do what you should do, and then the devil comes in. Thank you, Pastor Kule, for reminding me of that. I've mentioned it last week, or recently when I preached. The young man that is hypothetical, but he's in Proverbs chapter 7, who commits adultery. The Bible says, it was Solomon who wrote it. Oh God. Call on Shan, oh how. She's not enough to know. It's important to do. That's the thing I want to teach you this afternoon. It's not how much you know that's going to save you. It's not how much Bible you can quote that's going to save you. It's the Bible you put in your mouth and in your heart that will save you. See what happened. He says, "I looked out of my window at the casement, and I beheld amongst the young men a young man void of understanding." Now, this is the root of the problem. The woman is not the problem. The woman has not even entered the picture. You know what? He went the way of her house. Omission. He did not obey this simple injunction. Abstain from all appearance of evil. He omitted that. Then he now put himself inside a compromising situation. He says, "He in the black, dark night." The Bible says it's a wonderful book. I was wondering, I said, God, black and dark is the same thing. Holy Spirit says it's emphasis. It's not just black and dark. It was also symbolic. A time for Satan to work. The black and dark night. It was not the woman who took him. He took his own leg and walked the way of her house. Then she now had the attire of a harlot and then met him and said, "Come with me this day." And the rest is history. But the important thing is, had the young man not been void of understanding? And knowledge and understanding and wisdom, where does it come from? The word of God. So, had the young man, "Thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I may not sin against thee." So, had the young man committed, had he done the sin, had he obeyed the commandment of keeping the word in his heart and in his mouth, he would not have been void of understanding, and he would not have gone the way of our house. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, that he take heed according to his word. The sin of omission of the word led to the sin of commission of going the way of our house. Then he was just sheep for the slaughter. How many intelligent, lovely young men and women have fallen to this unnecessary trap? Do you see why you have to pray every morning? Do you see why you have to pray once every 6 hours? Any omission of those things opens the door for Satan to introduce something. I didn't write the Bible. The battle is hotting up. We're living in perilous times. That's why I've been commissioned and I have been charged by God to come and teach this to the body of Christ. omissions 10 years ago would not have as serious effect as omission of today. Don't let Satan set you up. I got to close. How then do we avoid sins of omission? The answer is so simple, it's almost laughable. I will say it in one word. Watch and pray always. End of story. The man that watches, no wonder Jesus taught it. He said, Simon, give me Matthew 26, 40. And possibly 41. Matthew 26, 40. Then we're going to look at Luke 21, 36. And then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 10. And we're going to close. He says, and he cometh to his disciples. I didn't hear you. How many of our disciples here? Give me a wave, friend. I know we're tired. But let me tell you something. The word of God is more important than that thing you're going to go and do. This thing is going to save you and make what you want to go and do work. Are you listening to me? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is currently saying. I just got your number there. And he cometh unto his disciples. Give me a wave offering again. If anybody is waving, say, so you are a disciple. How come you are sleeping spiritually? Put your hand down. As the next word. So present cutting edge prophetic truth. And findeth them asleep. You know, somebody who is sleeping, somebody who is not aware of what's going on around them. See, you can be sleeping spiritually. You don't have a sense of urgency. That's what I have come prophetically to awake. Awake now out of sleep. For nearer is our salvation than when we fall. Put on the armor of life and make no provision for the flesh. God is talking. It's not Pastor Obi preaching. It's Pastor Obi, all right. But God is talking. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh, you know, I've heard this all my life. Oh, you know, we are in this plane, in heaven, you know, we are still on earth. You know, God understands. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Stop that nonsense. For ye are not in the flesh, brethren, that you should live after the flesh. For if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. And if you don't, you will die. You will not die in Jesus' name. Pastor Lupi doesn't want you to die in Jesus' name. That's why I'm preaching it. But don't use it as a cop-out. You have no reason to walk in the flesh. Yes, the flesh is weak naturally because it has a sin nature in it. But that's why you've been given the Holy Ghost. That's why your spirit has life. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead. It's not dead physically. It's dead spiritually. It has sin in it. It's dead because of sin. But the spirit has life because of righteousness. But if the spirit that raised up Jesus dwell in you, if he does, give me another wave offering, somebody. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall do what? Give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So your body will become spiritually alive. So, the excuse that the flesh is weak is no longer tenable. Because you can now put the life of God inside the flesh so that it's no longer weak. Am I talking to anybody here? Hello, somebody. It took us many years to unravel these truths. We were roaming through Romans
for years and years. You know, the church, thank God for Kenneth Copeland. Thank God for Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon. So they opened the road. Then some of us who are coming behind pursued it further to get it much clearer. It's no longer an excuse. Because the Holy Ghost, and you have access to the life of God. And you can put the life of God inside the physical body. So the physical body, the flesh being weak, is no longer an excuse. Your excuse now is that you didn't pray to put the life into the flesh. Omission. Thank you, Lord. That's the problem. If you put the life of God inside the body, it will act as a spiritual anesthetic. And the body will become dead to sinful stimuli. It will come, but it will not respond. Ask me. I'm living in it. I'm not perfect. I still have my weak days. I still have days when I... You see, that's why I am so diligent by the mercy and the grace of God about prayer. I have come to see that staying in contact with God is the key. That's why I don't play with my prayer life. I get up early in the morning. I don't know what the devil has planned for that day. But I certainly know what God has provided. Glory to God. So fear the day is the evil thereof. But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. I'm not going to be caught on the wrong foot. I'm not talking to anybody here. Right. So, what do you do? Let's go back to Matthew. You watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. That's a statement from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fact. It's a truth. Now, because it's logic, do you understand? Let's twist it around a little bit. You know? I'm not twisting the Bible, the same Bible, you know. So the conclusion is this. If you enter into temptation, what's the answer? You did not watch and pray. Correct? Have I twisted the Bible? Say, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So if you enter into temptation, what does it mean? You did not watch and pray. So the omission of watching and praying leads to the commission of entering into temptation. Hence, his mathematics and logic. I did a course in UI many years ago called symbolic logic. You know, we used to take that. We used to take that course, all the physics and engineering guys, because it was so cheap. So, you know, we'll go to philosophy, and we, you know, because it was course system, you go and register for it and just get 100%. It was a 4-unit course. I'll smash it. You know, many guys in my class, is that course? I quickly go and register for it. It was simple, you know. It was called symbolic logic. So, you know, if A implies C and C implies B, then for us in physics who had done set theory and higher mathematics, it was cheap. We got 100% in it. But anyway, so we're applying a bit of symbolic logic here. Praise the Lord. If you enter into temptation, it is because you did not watch and pray. Now, let's take it a step further. Let's go to Luke 21:36. See, I'm now showing you how to avoid sins of omission. So the man who watches and prays will avoid. If he watches and prays, he is already blocking sins of omission. Because the real omission is not watching and praying. Now, but let's take it a step further. Jesus now says, talking in respect of the rapture and the manifestation, all of that, you know, prophetically. But let's just take that. Luke 21:36 says, watch and pray sometimes. Watch and pray when you are diligent. Watch and pray when you're excited. Watch and pray when you're weak. Watch and pray when you feel like it. Watch and pray when people are looking at you. Watch and pray to impress Pastor Lubi. Am I talking to anybody here? Are we getting it? Now, let's take that logic that I did and go back to, take the logic, and you don't have to turn back there, back to Matthew. So, if I watch and pray always, then I will not enter into temptation always. You know what it's called? Perfection. Zero sin rate. So if I watch and pray always, I will start getting to the point where I always not enter into temptation. That's not best English, but you get the drift. Hey, listen to me. So if I watch and pray always, then always I will not enter into temptation. So I've now found a secret of never entering into temptation. It didn't say I won't be tempted. It just means I'll always overcome it. So you see, when you say pray once every 6 hours, that's the practical meaning of watching and praying always. Because you can't be in concentrated prayer 24/7. But you can pray once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. So when the Holy Ghost says, pray. William, pray. I'm busy. Lord, I'll pray. I'll pray in about 10 minutes time. I'll pray in about 15 minutes time. You know, I have to finish this thing. I'm taking to CMD. You know, I must finish this file. When immediately I finish, I will pray. Lord, you know me. I will pray. It's inside that 10 minutes temptation will come. That's why the Holy Ghost was nudging you. He will show you things to come. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's, you see that 10, 15 minutes. It's, he has seen it coming. You can see what's coming. The Holy Ghost can see. So he says, pray. Never ignore it. You don't know what's coming. That's why we've taught you, and we're still teaching you by the mercy and the grace of God, how to pray efficiently. It's not some long prayer. Father, I confess our sins. I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. Pray in tongues. 5 minutes, you know, a minute. Sure. But you don't know the power you have released. So that thing that is coming, the power to neutralize it has already been sent out. The angels to neutralize it have already been commissioned. Because you speak not in tongues of men, but in tongues of men and of angels. Glory be to God. You see, the man who learns, I learned these things by experience, and I'm still learning. I'm not perfect yet. I'm as honest with you. But I've learned, I know when things, once something happens, I remember, I said, God, I'm so sorry. Had I prayed? I felt very bad about this Brexit thing. I told Pastor Boyega, I prayed, but not the way I normally pray. I said, you know, how I wish we took one phase out the week before. I have to account. One time, Kenneth Hagin appeared to Jesus, or rather, Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin. You know, your brain is like a computer. So it brought out the thing in the wrong order, you know. And this was 1970, early 70s, Watergate. Yeah, Patrick Hagin. Hagin was weeping. He said, "Stand before me." And you know, Jesus. You know, most Christians don't really know Jesus. They have this caricature. You know, Jesus is loving and nice, and but when he's in his, he wears a commander-in-chief cap. When he's talking to his generals and he's talking to his prophets, he is in a completely different level. Stand before me. He said, you think that the problem of what's happening now in Washington is the fault of the president and the politicians? He says, it's your fault. You didn't pray as you should. Okay, he fell down, was weeping and crying. And Jesus said, well, that has gone. Now learn to pray for your nation. And pray more than they started. Then when Reagan was shot, I was there. I wasn't in America the day he was shot, but I was at the Kenneth Hagin camp meeting, prayer meeting, where they prayed. They groaned, they traveled. We didn't know Reagan was going to be shot. What would have happened if we didn't pray? We would have died. And there would have been a war with the Soviet Union. It was Reagan and Margaret Thatcher that made deal with Gorbachev that caused the elimination of Soviet Union without firing a shot. So how many people are coming to pray on Tuesday? Nigeria is sitting on a keg of gunpowder as I speak. It will be well with Nigeria, but we must pray. It's not the amen alone. Thank God for your amen. As I'm talking now, Nigeria is sitting on a keg of gunpowder. There's the Niger Delta thing. There's the Boko Haram. There's the Biafra one. You know, all fight. And I just saw some of the newspapers yesterday say the restructuring of the nation is a must. The economy is in doldrums. There is no money. The oil that normally brings the money, you know, is being sabotaged. So income has dropped almost 75%. They can't even steal it if they want to. Salaries have not been paid for months. The polity is restless. From Lagos to Sokoto, from Calabar right to Kano, the people are there is a limit to which you can push the people. Ask France. I took Itunu and Mommy some years ago to the Versailles Palace. It's just about 45 minutes outside Paris. That's where the French Revolution took place. The Bastille Palace. Where they stormed. It was the common people. The Louis, whatever his name is. He had a silly wife. Marie Antoinette. They were doing makeup. Wearing fine cloth. People were suffering. They couldn't eat. Their children could not eat. Same Nigeria now. I just sent something out to some of the pastors. Some sitting ministers have been ex-governors and ex-minister. They are collecting the money of the pension of the governor. Then they are also collecting the pension of the senator. And then they are still collecting the salary they are getting. I'm not against them being paid well. But let us cut our coat according to our size. How can a Nigerian senator get more money than the president of the United States? It is immoral. It's immoral. They are not poor. They can do away with it. And say, help, use it to help the economy. That was what the King of France was doing. He and his wife had the big garden. You need to go to the Versailles Palace for a lesson in history. The cutlery was gold, Pastor Boyega. They didn't tell me, I saw it. The goblets that they were used to drink wine were gold. This is 1600 and something. He was living better than people in the 20th century. On the taxes of the people. They tax the people, 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 tax the people. The people, yes, he's the king. It's God who put him there. He's the king. It's God who put him there. They submitted. When there was no more food, when there was hunger, when their children were dying, they just woke up one morning. They woke up one morning and the people rose and they stormed the Versailles Palace. Even the guards who were protecting the king, they had aunties, they had uncles, they had sisters, they had nieces. They knew what they fled. They could not protect the king, or would not. So they captured him, put him in something, took him to Paris. Kept them in the jail for some weeks, so deciding what they were going to do. I don't know if that was a right decision or not, looking back in history. I think I would have preferred what the English did, to take power from him. But, you know, when people are angry, when people are hungry, they do things irrationally. That's why we have to pray. Nigeria is sitting on a keg of gunpowder. To keep the peace, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because if this thing explodes, that's what the devil wants. And that's why some of the kids, I can't understand how the leaders are so insensitive. Even the Bible says it's a soft answer turns away wrath. Even if you can't do, people just see gestures of kindness. You want to buy a car, you go and buy the most expensive one. What do you need another car for? You already have cars. Change the car on the tax of the people. And you are rich enough to buy 10 if you want. With your own money. I didn't even know I was going to get to this. But it's God. I told my wife and I told Ishmael, I said, this is the reason for the French Revolution. Now I understand. Because I saw with my own two eyes. The man was living like God. There's a particular room. It's called the Hall of Mirrors. Then he has this painting, all kinds of paintings on the wall, showing himself and his wife and his children with the apostles and Jesus. It didn't stop the people. The problem with revolutions is that they always get out of hand. So we don't want a revolution. They get, and innocents get killed. That's the problem with revolution. So we must not have a revolution in Nigeria. We have a spiritual revolution. But the fact remains, you and I must pray. Watch and pray always so that we will not have a revolution. That's one way of saying it. In this context of Nigeria. In your personal context, so you will not enter into temptation. The Christian has entered into temptation. He's not watching and praying as he should. And he says he's not praying at all. I'm saying he's not watching. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible says watch and pray always. And I've taken many years to find out what that always means. It's at least once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. So I have learned and I'm still learning. When I'm nudged, I pray. I don't wait. I used to stupidly before. Then something will happen. I said, help me! And he will help me. But why is he jegbe? In our language, that means you will still feel the stripes. He says, when his children forsake my law, he says, I will beat them with stripes, but my mercy. So I will have mercy, but my jigwe. When God nudges you, pray. Please pray. You don't know the consequences of what will happen when you don't pray. I got to close. Last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know. We're not done yet. Look at Luke 21:36. I'm going to close. I promise. Well, I'm allowed three. Paul had three finalists. I think I'm on my second one. Watch ye therefore. Am I helping anybody here? Do you think what I'm teaching is important? Or you think we should just go home? And then you go with lack of knowledge. And go and perish. Watch ye therefore. And pray always that you may be accounted worthy to what? All these things. He had been talking about, you know, all the things that are going to happen in the end time. But in the context of this, what I'm teaching now, you know, of sins and all that, when you watch and pray, you will escape. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I promise I will close on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There hath no temptation. I didn't hear you. You know, you learn to say the word of God. There hath no temptation taking you such as is common to man. But such as is common to man. In other words, you know, things that other people have gone through. But God is faithful. Everybody shout it. I didn't hear you. Heaven did not hear you. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer. The word suffer means allow. Who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Escape. Watch and pray that you may escape. Can you get it? That's why I use the King James. If you use any other, you will miss this. You won't see it. What? That you may be able to bear it. In other words, God has already provided a way of escape. It is watching and praying always. When you watch and pray always, it will generate spiritual power to give you forbearance. If you need strength to overcome temptation, He will arrange your circumstances. He will move the angels when you watch and pray always. So it's the way of escape. You will be able to bear the temptation and you will overcome it. So if you do not commit the sin of omission of watching and praying always, you will not commit sins of commission. Let us pray. It's a prophetic message, oh, because difficult days are ahead. In our individual lives and in our nation, the economy is in a doldrum. It's going to get out of it, but it will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. Are you listening to me? You don't build in 2 days what they destroyed in 40 years. We must be ready. We must be prayerful. You will survive. You will make it. But we talk a little bit of rough hole ahead. A little bit of turbulence here and there. Oh, that's putting it as the English understatement. You know. But God will help us. So please. It's not Pastor Lubi who preached this. It's not Pastor Lubi who said, Jesus said it. Watch and pray always that you enter not into temptation. Temptation is going to come. Difficulty is going to come in our personal lives, in our individual lives, in the nation. God just allowed me to touch the nation tangentially in this message. Nigeria is going to make it. It's going to be okay. But it's going to, we have a little bit of a rough bump ahead of us. Now, I don't know exactly how that thing is going to happen, but God's going to have to do something. And drastic. He may press a reset button on Nigeria. Why will you leave what is working for what is not working? Western region. Eastern region, Northern region, they were producing their own money and they were paying something to the center. Everybody was happy.
I've said it many times. I'm going to keep repeating it. Obafemi Awolowo, 4 years. It's almost inconceivable. It wasn't 10 years. 4 years. 55 to 59. That was the year in which I was born. First television in the whole of Africa, including South Africa. Bodija Estate. Free primary education. University of Ife. Liberty Stadium. Cocoa House. Western House. Industrial Isheri Estate in Lagos. 4 years! These our politicians ought to be indicted. They have no excuse. Just go to the government house here in Oyo, in Ibadan. Go to the archives and find out what Chief Esu Adebo did. Find out. Go and bring it out. What did they do with education? What did they do with water? What did they do? Crane. Cocoa Research Institute. 4 years! It's a slap in our face. There's an indictment on the politicians and there's an indictment on the church. Talk to God. What a friend we have in Jesus.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
For the privilege.
What a privilege to carry.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
All our sins,
sins and griefs to bear.
What a privilege.
What a privilege to carry
everything.
To God in prayer.
Oh, what peace
we offer.
Oh, what peace we offer.
Oh, what needless pain.
Oh, what needless pain we bear.
All because
we do not.
Next stanza. Have we trials?
Have we trials and temptation?
Is there trouble anywhere?
Anywhere.
There trouble anywhere?
Discouraged.
We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Can we find
a friend?
Can we find a friend so faithful?
Who will all our sorrows share?
Will all our sorrows share?
Yes, Jesus knows our every weakness.
Jesus knows our every weakness.
that. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Touch your heart. Raise your hands. Raise your heart to your God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. God is not a bad God. He's a good God. He has shown us the way of escape. He has shown us the way out. Oh, what needless pain we bear. How true. Oh, what peace. Oh, unnecessary agitation that you could have avoided just by praying. Don't pray your own way. Pray the way He taught us. Pray according to the principles of the Bible, the blood, the word, the spirit. Enforce the kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're not to do this in the natural. Do it in the Holy Ghost. Now talk to God. We're going to pray together in a minute and say, God, I have heard. I'm going to avoid the sins of omission, of prayerlessness. That's the not watching and praying is a sin of omission. You don't watch and pray, that's the omission. It leads to serious sins, like David. It led to murder. It led to the premature reign of Solomon. It led to the division of Israel. A sin of omission. Adam's sin of omission led to the fall. Satan would not have been able to come in and tempt Eve, because Adam would have said, I've eaten the tree of life. Don't mind him. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know how much we could have avoided in Nigeria if we had a better praying church in the 60s and in the 70s. Thank God for the church then, but there was lack of knowledge. There was no understanding of how to pray in the Spirit to any effective degree. Maybe there would have been no civil war. Maybe the Second Republic would have been a success. We're going around in circles. Problems should have solved 50, 40 years ago. Are still facing us in the face. Maybe we should have done a referendum years and years ago. So Switzerland, America, Germany, they all practice good fiscal federalism. We're unnecessary. Unnecessary. But the Yoruba people have a saying, Oba ni ko iti baje. Kolonsha noa. Oba ni o ko iti baje. Olorun ni jo baje o. If we pray now and we individuals walk as we should, God would turn the situation around. He would do whatever is necessary to be done to change the situation. Raise that hand. Say, Father, put the other hand on your heart. It's symbolic, but it just means sincerity. It means I'm praying from my heart. I'm not just talking. It means it's not just my lips alone. My heart is in what I'm saying. That's why you put your hand on your heart. It's just symbolic. The other hand, it means I'm looking to the hills from whence cometh my help. That God is bigger than me. So I can't solve this problem myself. I need God's help. That's why you put your hand up. Okay? One hand on the heart, one hand on the hair. Lifting up holy hands. Praying everywhere. I would that men pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. According to the scripture. Good. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus. From all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me the terrible consequences of sins of omission and how to avoid it by watching and praying always, once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me.
to always respond to your nudges to pray. Whenever you nudge me to pray, oh God, oh God, oh God, I determine by your mercy and grace to respond. I will always respond as quickly as practicable to pray when you nudge me to pray, oh Lord. So I will not enter into temptation. So my flesh will not be weak, because I will fill that flesh with your life and power to make it strong spiritually. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to watch and pray always, so that always I will not enter into temptation. In Jesus' name, amen. Zufrike gloma tulomashtaka. Zifrike tulomasha. Liprike tusko fredes. Zofredela kashoko. Zifrikaka. Zeleminga tusko fredes. Liprides tofredea. Zefridiglo. Lambrakama tulomash tulomotu freshe. Tulomotulomotu fredo freshe. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands down. I got a text. Every single one of us, and those who are watching on television or YouTube, this is for everybody. Everybody you can show kindness to them. Your drivers, your house helps, your distant relatives who may be poorer than you. Every one of us has a duty to be our brother's keeper, to help ameliorate the sufferings that Nigerians are going through. I just got it from God. If you're a governor, if you're a politician, and you have stacks of money, go and bring it out and start distributing to the poor. Give to the people around you, your relatives who don't have. They can't pay their children's school fees. Tell them, don't worry, I will pay it for you. Take this one, help this one. Everybody, start helping everybody to the one that you can do. It will be a multiplier effect throughout the whole economy, and it will douse the situation. It's a word from God. It will douse the situation. Not all of us have tons and tons of money, but you can be kind with the little that you have. So my wife and I practice to the glory of God. It's not a boast, it's to the glory of God, so that you can copy my example. My drivers, my guards, all the people who work around me, they know if they have any serious problem, like a child sick in hospital or their parents, they always know. I say, let me know. It's not hard to know your salary. Let me know. If it's 10,000, I give them. I don't take it back from them. I don't take it from their salary. So go and solve the problem quickly, quickly, quickly. They always tell me, oh God, thank you. Pastor, thank you. So when they serve me with their hearts. See, there's something you can't buy with money. You can't buy loyalty with money. Acts of kindness. Little acts. Ask my mom, my wife, and Joshua, they always make fun of me. You know, when lower income people bring things to me, I don't price it. What's 100 naira to me? Hey, the guy is trying to survive, for God's sake. He brings a newspaper or brings something to the window of my car, and I want to buy. I always tell him, keep the change. I don't need that 100 naira. To him, it may be life and death. Be kind. Show kindness to the poor. Let them be a lesson of our tranquility.
God is talking. Show kindness. When you go to the market and the market woman is begging, if it's she's going to cheat you 1,000, I give it to her. She needs it more than you. Leave it for them. The things are tough. Don't be insensitive. I know it's tough on us too, but there's a certain what you can absorb, they cannot absorb. So be kind to them. Don't be looking for every penny. You know, the thing always irritates me. I started arguing about 100 naira. You know, I want to buy handkerchief. The man says, oh, guys, 500 naira. They are 300 naira. I always shout on my driver. Say, leave it for them. Is that 100 naira? Is it going to stop you from getting where you are going to get to? What, God will bless you for it. The blessing will be more than worth that 100 naira. Riches do not deliver in the day of death. But righteousness does. Over 8 years ago, armed robbers put a gun on my head like this. And my wife. Thank God for doing the right thing. And the mercy of God. The man just looked at us. He said, they told us to kill you, but we won't kill you. My wife said, you can't kill me. I have work to do. The man just looked. He took my wife, put her back, brought me out, put me on this thing, put a gun to my head like this. He said, say your last prayer. I just closed my eyes. I didn't, you know, in my heart, I wasn't afraid. If I died, I was going to go to heaven anyway. So, really, you know. Then he took the gun off. Then he looked at me and said, do you have any more money now? I said, I don't tell lies. I've given you everything we have. He said, okay. He says, all right. Oh, yeah, go inside. The mercy of God was 1 inch from death. That one, that 100 naira will not save you. Is the goodness and the kindness you have sown, the mercy that you have sown, that you will reap at that point.